Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. This show is brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, where they speak for cats, which is what this program is all about. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food called Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I personally can recommend because it is based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Please show your appreciation that Dr. Elsie's underwrites this show by choosing their products whenever you can. I was so excited to learn about the Community Cat Clinic from my dear friend Stacey LeBaron, who's the cat connector. She connects all people doing good things for cats. How exciting to meet Rick Ducharme, who's doing something in Georgia that I hope will be not only all over Georgia, where the kitties really need this help, but expand to other states. Rick, congratulations on having already opened one community cat clinic and already looking at architectural plans for the next one. I think it's extraordinary. You've got one in Woodstock, Georgia, and Duluth, Georgia is to come. How did you wind up being the guy who said, you know what, people need access to care for their cats, everyday access?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Tracy, and thanks for that great introduction. I've designed, worked with access to care veterinary clinics for a couple decades now with, I started First Coast No More Homeless Pets in Jacksonville, Florida. And there we grew through a succession of clinics until finally, before I left there, we were operating in two 10,000 square foot clinics providing access to care for dogs and cats there. And after I left there, I started to do consulting. And a friend of mine called me up one day and said, "Hey, Rick, let's talk about a partnership to open some affordable care feline-only veterinary hospitals that will do high-volume, high-quality spay and neuter, as well as provide, affordable veterinary care and be a great place for team members to work." And so after about a year of sort of working on the concept, we decided upon the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, for the first proof of concept. And we leased a space in Woodstock, Georgia, in a Walmart shopping center, and off to the races where we are.
It's marvelous. I think it's important that people who have cats or people who love pets in general understand that access is kind of like a code word. It means affordable. It means care for animals, which otherwise people who have less money and less ability to travel aren't going to get the care. I mean, almost half of the people who own cats never take them to a vet. And that is on probably all scales of wealth or accessibility. But the important thing is if your cat doesn't get regular care, doesn't get vaccines, doesn't get their teeth looked at, all those kinds of preventable care, your cat's going to have a shorter life and not as comfortable a life. I mean, cat's teeth alone is such a big issue. I think having these be feline only, Rick, is really an important part of it. So many people have a lot of pushback about taking their cat to the vet because there's those dreaded other animals there called dogs. And they're loud and they smell different and they're noisy and they're scary. And it's just a different atmosphere in a feline only veterinary setting. It's just more mellow. You probably have some kind of pheromone diffusers. Everyone understands better the needs of cats. And the clinics you had in Florida were mixed species, right?
They were mixed species, both dog and cat, and it was always a challenge. And we found the same thing. Kitties rarely like to travel. And so when you stick them in a carrier and take them somewhere, they're not happy anyway. And then if you walk in a lobby full of barking dogs,
yes,
and, you know, clutters of people and lots of noise and action going on, the cats are just even less comfortable. And that's just not a good situation. It makes for a very poor veterinary visit for not only the cat, but the pet owner and the veterinary staff as well, because nobody's going to enjoy that interaction.
And fear-free is a big part of the community cat clinic, as you're seeing it, that fear-free means, A, no dogs, but B, just a different way that cats need to be viewed as customers/patients. Can you talk a little bit about some of those issues that may have to do with handling techniques or lighting or pheromones or a different kind of exam table or maybe not even taking the cat all the way out of a carrier, depending on the situation? I would love you to talk about it, because I think people need to understand, if you aren't lucky enough to be near the community cat clinic outside Atlanta or the other one that's opening or the many others that Rick envisions, things to think about in terms of protecting your cat from a miserable experience.
Absolutely, Tracy. And all of our team members at the community cat clinic are trained in the fear-free concept and certified fear-free handlers. And it's a great program. I recommend it highly to everybody in the veterinary world. But one of the things that's so important is fear-free really starts before the cats ever come to the clinic. So when people call to make their appointment, we talk to them about the type of carrier they should maybe be using,
good,
well as how to get the cat accustomed to the carrier and make the ride to the clinic a more comfortable ride for the kitty. Sometimes that includes what type of music to play. And, of course, we recommend leaving the carrier out and making it, almost a den for the cat to go to on occasion if it wants a place to sleep or relax. And, so the cat is used to the carrier and it isn't a new experience for them when you do get ready to go to the clinic. So it really does start there. And if the cat comes to the clinic and is too stressed out, sometimes, if possible, we'll send home some medication for nerves, gabapentin or such, to ask the people to come back after the cat is, on the gabapentin for a little while and calm down some. So that way it's a better visit for the cat. Now, it's not always possible for people to leave and come back. Like you said, access to care, covers a whole spectrum of challenges people face. Sometimes it's finances, but sometimes it's transportation or scheduling or whatever. So we always try and work with the client no matter what. But then, like you said, coming in and, the whole, concept of being feline friendly, of course, the clinic is quieter and we don't play loud music. In the kennel areas, we play cat-friendly music, which is, there's actually CDs you can buy on Amazon that are cat-friendly, and so we play those in the kennel areas where the cats are going to be for quite a while. We have the pheromone diffusers in all of the exam rooms and in all the kitty areas, but even in the lobby, our seating is set up so that people aren't necessarily facing each other.
Nice.
And every seat has a little table beside it, so you can put your cat carrier
on
the table.
What a great idea.
The cats aren't going to be on the floor. We know that. So,
wow, that's such a great idea. There's 2 points to that. The cat's on the floor is really vulnerable, right? Everything's at eye level, and it's all coming at the cat. They see it through the window or the door. The other thing is not to face other cats. I had not even thought of that. As much as cats would hate to be trapped, which they are in their carrier, and see a dog nearby or coming at them, seeing another cat, we know what terrible reactions cats can have from seeing other strange cats. It raises their hackles, to put it mildly. That's
Absolutely.
A really amazing, cool point that the people and their cats face away from each other. So talk about the carrier. Do you like top opening carriers instead of front opening carriers to bring the cat to the vet?
The best carriers are hard plastic carriers,
right?
And preferably with a top and a front opening, as well as a carrier that's fairly easy to remove the whole top, you know, the whole hat.
Yes,
top.
Yes.
So that way, you know, often what we'll do is we'll set the carrier on the exam table, and we use a towel on all the exam tables, you know,
yep.
A clean towel for every visit. And then, you know, we may try and lure the kitty out with some treats rather than, you know, I've seen some clinics where they dump the cat out, and that's definitely
horrible.
Not fear-free. And, you know, and if kitty won't come out, you know, maybe we just take the top half of the carrier off, and you don't do the exam right there in the carrier if that's where kitty's most comfortable. So, you know, it's really just trying to read the cat and understand what's going to be best for the cat, but still get the job done of, you know, of taking care of their health issues. So,
now, I know that one of the reasons that Stacey LeBaron is involved in your community cat clinic business, if you will, is because you do a lot of work with local TNR groups for low-cost spay-neuter, both for pet and feral cats. And that's a really big deal. As you said, it's set up for high-volume spay-neuter. So is there a certain day of the week you do it, or you wait until you have enough customers lined up and then you get the assembly line going, so to speak?
A little bit of both, Tracy. We do it on Wednesday and Thursday, but it's rarely a challenge to get enough cats for those 2 days because there's such a demand out there, as you know, for spay and neuter, especially for TNR or feral cats or community cats. So, yeah, we do it twice a week right now. And like you said, it's, you know, assembly line type process.
Yeah.
We actually have our feral cat kennel room set up with an exterior door access and a code access panel so that we can give the larger TNR groups and the smaller ones their own access codes.
Oh, my goodness.
They can bring cats in as they trap them throughout the night because, you know, oftentimes these dedicated volunteers will be out there trapping cats until midnight or 2 a.m. the night before surgery, so they can just bring them right over.
Wow.
And,
that is brilliant. I mean, I hadn't thought of that. That is often, and when you say dedicated volunteers, these guys and gals are amazing. They will sit for hours within sight of a trap that they've set. And I hadn't occurred to me there could be many, many, many hours where the cat's in the trap, pretty miserable, but that's life, honey, because we got to spay and neuter you. But the person might have to go to work, or the person can't deal with the yowling miserable cat, the cat being miserable. And so they have a code. They can bring them in the back of the clinic. So when you set up your team of doctors and nurses in the morning, you've got your cats already there, ready to rock and roll. That's
Absolutely.
A brilliant idea.
And you know, we've worked with the rescue groups to make sure they understood how to do the paperwork correctly. So
yes.
All the paperwork's done. And another little bonus for the trappers that you wouldn't think about, but it's been greatly appreciated, is they also have access to the restroom when they come in.
Oh, so. My goodness. That's so sweet. That's so sweet. You know, the physical and logistical needs of cat trappers and feral cat colony keepers is something that it's easy to lose sight of. So many hours in the dark of night or the middle of the night or crack of dawn. And almost all of them have day jobs. They have families. They've got kids to get to school and breakfasted and get to their own jobs. And yet they're still doing this on the side because they really want to reduce that loose cat population so the cats who are out there can have a safe and dignified life. That is really a wonderful aspect to what you're doing. Where does the money come from to build these? I mean, they cannot be inexpensive to build.
It's a private investor. You know, they aren't inexpensive. You're right, and it is a private investor that is very dedicated to the community cats and access to care, and just, you know, increasing the ability of cats of all types, whether community or feral cats and owned cats or cats living in rescues and shelters to be able to access care. So
wow. So I guess this person's anonymous, but I would sure like to put a medal around their neck or have them on. Clearly they love cats a lot. It's quite it's quite a wonderful thing to do as a philanthropist, to put that money in a place where it's going to, not just now, but into the future, help so many, eventually thousands of cats and the people who care about them, whether they live with the cats or whether they're simply trying to give the cats a better life out in the hot and the cold of the outdoors. The other thing that you're offering, which I was shocked because it's so fabulous, is radioiodine therapy for hyperthyroidism. So many cats, I forget the percentage, but an enormous percentage of cats develop thyroid problems as they age. And the gold standard and the cure for it is a radioiodine therapy, but it's expensive and it has to be administered in a very secure kind of situation. How were you able to add this onto your clinic? I've never even known of regular dog-cat clinics that have the ability to offer that. Usually people have to go to some dedicated facility. And again, access both physically and financially is very limited.
It's a real challenge to access the, you know, to find somebody. I think in the state of Georgia, there might only be two or maybe three clinics that are providing radioiodine treatment. So we're very excited to offer that. We had to really consider the whole concept before we even designed the clinic. We had to build in the special room with an ante room and storage for the PPHEs that might be radioactive and so on. So it really began early in the process. And our application to provide that service has been submitted to the state of Georgia, and we're hoping to get our approval in the next 30 days.
That's amazing. Start
providing the service. Yes,
that is so amazing, Rick. For owned cats in particular, because people taking care of a feral cat colony wouldn't even necessarily know that their cat has a tumor on their thyroid gland, as common as it is. And it is a dangerous application because the cat is radioactive and the stuff you give the cat has to be handled for safety for the humans. And the cat has to be kept sequestered until the period of time has passed. So we've run out of time, but I just have to say what you're doing is so far reaching and so thinking so big. And yet for a community that is so lucky to have the community cat clinic there, and the second one that's going to be opening in 2024, and more to come. So thank you for your wonderful good works. It's wonderful to meet you. And you tell that secret cat-loving investor that he or she is really a star in the cat world. Thank you, Rick.
You bet, Tracy. Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. I also want to thank Wonderside, founded by a woman entrepreneur who discovered effective natural ways to repel fleas, ticks, and other pests on her pets and around her home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without the harsh chemicals that can be harmful to your cats, your property, and the planet. This show is also supported by the privately developed Magic Fabric Pet Throws that trap hair, dirt, and moisture when cats get up on the furniture, bed, or your lap. Magic Fabric Pet Throws invite kitty cuddle time without sacrificing your clothes or furniture. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's again for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people.